Scotch Stories by Whiskey FM.
I think Glenfiddich has got, correct me if I'm wrong, but it is globally renowned, isn't it? It's one of the most recognisable, most well-known, most well-loved whiskies in the world. So when you go into a tasting or you go to an event, wherever it is, what impression do you want to leave with people about Glenfiddich? Because I would assume they already have things in their mind about who you are and what you do.
I think overall, I want to change perceptions. I would imagine the higher proportion of the tastings that I do, you're right, people come with a preconceived idea. Normally misplaced or misguided. So what I'd want to try and do is to make sure they understand and appreciate what the brand is, where it's come from, i.e. the family. That's probably one of the most important things for me, because when you start to discuss family with people, oh, right, okay, I just assumed there's like 7 different factories around the world that make Glenfiddich. Nope, still up there in Dufton. So that's probably one of the first things I'm aiming to, so that people come away going, wow, it's still family owned, that's quite incredible after all this time. And then I want to show them where our liquid has come from, why it is the way it is. Because again, a lot of people who have been introduced to that green triangular bottle in the 80s or 90s, the liquid actually changed in 2000. So there is a part of my role is about a re-education, reappraisal. They may have an opinion, it may be positive or negative, but actually to sit people down and get them to try it again in a new way, or at least explain it in a different way. And I think that outside of the brand as well is part of my MO, because I want people to understand, if you understand whiskey and you understand it well, there is no such thing as a bad whiskey. And unfortunately, marketing and branding can put people off something. Like, I don't like that because of what it looks like. I don't like the bottle. Actually, if you give people blind tastings of any of the whiskies that are around us today or from the Glenfiddich range, and sit them down and say, this is why this tastes this way, irrespective of the price, then people can go, all right, I get it. I understand now why. Maybe that's not my style of whiskey, but I also understand that within the Glenfiddich range, not everything is just a bit, in fact, very few of them are a vertical age of the one prior. Far too often I hear people say that they've tried Glenfiddich and they don't like it. When you delve a little deeper, it turns out it's the 12-year-old that they've tried and they don't like it. You're like, cool. But it's then become a barrier for them to try anything else in the range.
Which must be so frustrating, because there is so much good stuff.
So I think, yeah, I think my job, ultimately, when I go into a tasting, I want people to understand who we are, what we do, and why we do it. Those three things, if you forget about price and get down to flavour profile, why this one tastes that way, what we've done to make it taste that way, how we've nurtured it across the years and grown the portfolio and grown the brand, then people walk away with a completely different view. And I do say to people at the start, we're going to try, let's say, 5-6 whiskies. I will be very surprised if you like all of them. There'll be one, maybe two, maybe even three that you go, no, I'm not so keen on those, but I'm hoping that by the time they leave, they go, but that one I liked. And that's good for me, because as you say, that there is a perception of the brand, and people either say, well, it's one that I would choose on the back bar, or it's not. But if you can change their attitude to just go, okay, I don't like everything they do, but when it comes to that 18 or that 15 or Project 20 or the IPA, I like it and I would drink it. That's probably my goal, because I know that that is beneficial to the wider whiskey category as well. Because if you get it right with that brand, then people walk away going, that was really cool. I wonder if that works with every whiskey. Of course it does. Now get out there and explore, because that's what you want people to do. And they'll come back to your brand. And, you know, we fight over market share and volume and rate of sale. Of course we do, because we're a business. But ultimately, the attitude of drinkers now has changed from 10 years ago. People would come up to me and say, I only drink this brand. That's my brand of whiskey. That's okay, cool. Quite a narrow point of view to live your life, but
I only eat bread. That's
yeah.
it, just bread.
Yeah. So now people will say, or it's more, my point is to try and get people to look at it differently. So they say, do you know what? I've always got a bottle of 15 Glenfiddich in the house. I've always got a bottle of X brand or Y brand or that there. And I like that as when it's sherry cask I'm after, I've always got a Glenfarclas in there or a Tamdhu. But then, you know, now and again, I like a bit of peatiness. And so I'll maybe go here. I've always got a Highland Park 12. And that's how people think about whiskey now. Or not enough people do. So my job is to try and make sure that Glenfiddich is in there for the right reason, for the right time. And well, maybe one day someone will go and go, I love them all. Give me them all. I'm drinking no other whiskies other than Glenfiddich. But, yeah.
But then from what you're saying, I would guess actually that's not your aim, even though you are, of course, trying to sell Glenfiddich. You actually have a fundamental desire to see people fall in love with whiskey,
yes.
not just your brand.
Yeah, I do. I am employed by Glenfiddich, but I represent, as I say, the Grant family, who are whiskey distillers and part of a bigger whiskey fabric as well. And therefore, I think it comes down to that genuine nature as well, where you want people to go, oh, okay, this isn't just, you're not just forcing one opinion down my throat here. You're going to talk positively about the products in front. Of course you are, but I think I'm too old, not too old, but I've been in the business too long. I've seen it all, and it doesn't work. It just doesn't work if you just bang the drum about your brand in one way. People just go, this is boring. I could read this on the website. If you have a conversation about whiskey, which includes your brand, people are like, I get this. This is human. So, yeah, I suppose there'll be certain level of management within the business that if they knew how I conducted tastings, they probably would be quite upset. But I think as you go higher up and towards the family, I think they would be quite welcoming because
it's
a genuine love for whiskey. Mm-hmm. I just happen to represent one of the biggest brands on the planet.
It's huge.
So I get a chance to talk in a very big way.
Yeah.
So it's a great vehicle for it.
What can we expect to see from Glenfiddich this year? I know you've got your Grand Cru has just come out, hasn't it?
That's right. So we're actually just about to. We've never been very good at flying our flag, which sounds weird, but actually there's so much depth and breadth of whiskey at the distillery and experience in our distillers and our malt masters, that when we have released older expressions, we've not really been great shouting about it. If we walked out into Princess Street now and stopped anyone and said Glenfiddich, they would just go Green Bottle. How many others can you name? No, that's it. You've just got one, which is actually, I hear quite a lot.
Mm.
So we've decided to mix things up slightly. We have our core range, 12, 15, 18, which are always going to be around, not changed, set, great. Three very different whiskies there. Then we have our experimental series with our IPA Project 20, Fire and Cane, there was Winter Storm as well, which were a step to the side. They weren't replacing any age statements. It was a playground to have fun and explore the things that we have in the warehouse and also experiment with how we bring whiskies together. So that's a lovely little range, which I think for 2020, there'll be a slight rationalizing of that range and then a growth again. So there'll be something comes out and is replaced by something else. I think the aim is to always have three expressions in the experimental series rotating. And then we have the Grand series, which is our 21-year-old Grand Reserva, our rum cask finish, our Grand Cru, which is our Cuvée wine cask finish, which is our latest release and is absolutely delicious. And there's a third one coming out in 2020, which will complete that little set as well, which I can't tell you anything about yet.
I won't. poke any further.
No, so there'll be three areas of play, if you like. So your portfolio range, your core range, are there for those that are dipping in and out of whiskey. The experimental series are for those that are perhaps, as the name suggests, quite inquisitive, looking to challenge their own palate, see what's out there, not encumbered by rules or regulations or worrying about age statements. It's about flavour for them. And they're priced accordingly as well. And then the Grand Series is more of a luxury play, which is the area that Glenfiddich have been slack in the past at doing. So there's a conscious move into that area or market where we know we've got the liquid that stands up.
Because you must have so much liquid to play with over years and years and years and years.
A million
and years.
Casks sitting at Glenfiddich.
Seriously, a million?
Yeah, there's a million. There's 2 million
in Dufftown.
There's a million casks. 47 warehouses.
Gosh, I didn't. I mean, I've been up there loads of times.
They're all hidden in the valley.
Right. Okay, so it's not.
In fact,
the
Fiddich River has now, although it's our namesake, it's also our nemesis as well, because there's a left-hand turn as it heads towards the Spey, and that is the end of the valley for us. We can't build on the other side; the ground's not right, and we've now taken up all the space. We are using some warehousing down at our Girvan site, which has 2 million casks at it.
Good grief.
Bearing in mind, Girvan produces 114 million litres a year. We are 14 million litres a year. So there's 100 million more litres gets pushed out of Girvan, which is their grain distillery. So, yeah, there's 2 million casks here.
Which shouldn't be a surprise, given you are one of the biggest distilleries in the world.
Yes.
But then when you're doing these experimental, more niche ranges, actually sent... Who is it who picks the liquid for them?
Well, Brian Kinsman's our malt master now. He's the sixth malt master in the David Stewart prior to him.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was Robertson before David, and then I believe it was family members prior to that. Well, William and William's son Charles, I think, on the end of that. So it's quite a short run to, you know, six people in 132 years picking liquid. And the advantage we have is, because we're not answering to shareholders, come the end of a year, it's the family that decides how much money is going to be taken out of that. Therefore, it's not the case of we better put something to bottle and sell it. Some of the casks that we've got that I've seen at the distillery are jaw-dropping. And it's not the fact that you look at just the age. You'll suddenly look and go, oh, wait a minute, there's a whole row of them. You know, it's incredible. And that comes down to, one, good stock management, but also just holding on to things. We stopped selling to independents in the late 80s, I think, was the last sort of casks that went out that would be bottled by independent bottlers. So we then, that makes a big difference. You're then retaining quite a lot of stock for yourself. And that decision is obviously coming to fruition now, because we do have, shall we try this? Or Brian puts down 5 or 6 different experiments a year and has been for the last 10 years. So we see the experimental series with 4 or 5 expressions or SKUs. But the warehouses are filled with things that you can walk past. And we've been round with Brian, and Brian will look at something and go, this is fun. We can't call it whiskey anymore, unfortunately, because I moved into a cask which isn't, you know...
One of the right casks. Yeah.
He said, but it was a great flavour. So I'm like, well, wow, that's a 350-litre cask of whiskey which you're not allowed to sell anymore. There's very few distilleries out there would just say, that's okay, we'll just write that off to experimentation.
So what will he do with it? Pop in every day for a for a draft.
The ambassadors know where it is. The rules might change one day.
Mm-hmm.
These are ongoing. They're good flavour profile points as well, so you can see what your liquid does in certain styles of cask. Mm.
Well, I was very interested, because obviously during the FESH we had the Boonehaven champagne cask, and then now we've got the Grand Cru, which is in, I think, cuvée casks rather than saying sparkling wine or champagne casks,
because there's no such cask as a champagne cask. It doesn't exist. If you put something fizzy into oak, it blows up. It's quite simple physics. So yeah, I think they got their hands royally slapped for that, didn't they?
They did.
We were very, very clear, although there was a little bit of lazy journalism when the product first came out, of cut and pasting tasting notes mentioning champagne casks we have never mentioned a champagne cask. The cuvée wines are the wines that some champagne houses will take direct from the growers and then rest in oak, French oak casks before then taking it on to become champagne in bottle, second fermentation.
Mm-hmm.
We've used the casks. It's as simple as that. So they're basically, it's a white French wine cask finish of exceptional quality, both the wood and the previous content.
Mm. I've heard amazing things about the Grand Cru. I've heard it's absolutely delicious.
It really is. It's a subtle, and this is Glenfiddich through and through. We have sherry cask whiskies. I've tried a 1958 100% first fill sherry butt. It's incredible, but is it Glenfiddich anymore? No, there's so many layers of rich fruit and tannins and wood spice in there that classic example of what we expect Glenfiddich to be has gone. Actually, if you look at our private vintage range, which, you know, casks from the 60s all the way through the 70s into the 80s, they're pretty much all in American oak, because that just gives us the space and the flexibility to allow the distillery character to still come through. And actually, it creates my favourite style of whiskies, which are, as I said earlier, those salty coastal fresh notes. And Glenfiddich gets to about 19 years old in just a bourbon cask. Something magical happens. That green grassy note that's prevalent in our new make suddenly comes back. It's almost as if over the years the oak puts little layers of jumpers over the new make, and as it gets to a certain age they start falling back off again. They've developed into something really different. And you know, our older series, if you look at the whiskies, apart from our 30, 40, 50 year old, quite often when we're releasing what we think are exemplify what the distillery does, it's American oak. Nice and soft, nice and light. And starts to get this little salty bite to it, which I absolutely adore.
Mm. Bringing things to a close, Mark, if you were to encourage our listeners to try one particular release of Glenfiddich right now, what would it be, and how can they get their hands on it?
So I'd say 23-year-old Grand Cru, which you'll find, all good whiskey bars should be stocking it already, but your whiskey stores as well, your independent specialist retailers, they'll certainly have some.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can get hold of some, it I think it's really is. I mean, if your listeners have tried Winter Storm, which was our Canadian ice wine cask finish limited edition in the white ceramic bottle, the way I describe Grand Cru is everything that Winter Storm was, with the volume turned up in all the right places. It just, that creamy wave of sort of butteriness that comes through, salted butter that comes through on right at the end of Winter Storm, it just is much more prevalent in Grand Cru. I mean, when I've given glasses of it to people, they're like, this is incredible. You know, it really is a beautiful whiskey. I would challenge most people that even thought that they weren't whiskey drinkers to give it a go and just forget about whiskey, because it comes across almost like a fortified wine, but balanced out so beautifully.
What's the retail price on it?
$220.
$220.
Yeah, so, I mean, they'll have some here in the Scotch Bar. It's probably the most expensive a dram in Edinburgh, and we can wander around a couple of kilometres and probably find other places stocking it as well. It's not a limited edition, so it's well worth trying. The other one I would say is Project 20, or XX as a lot of people call it, the black bottle with the gold thumbprint
yes,
on the front.
Yeah.
20 ambassadors put it together, including myself, an unusual way of creating the whiskey. It worked out well. It's very complex. It's a marriage of 17 bourbon casks, 2 sherry casks, a port cask, all different ages, all picked completely at random, left at 47% ABV and non-chill filtered. So, you've got Grand Cru at 220 with its classic Glenfiddich notes, delicate, exceptional, finesse, just wonderful, £220 a bottle. Project 20, really interesting. A whiskey drinker's whiskey, lots of layers going on. A dash of water will sweeten it up somewhat. £50 a bottle.
Which is very, very good value.
Yeah. So two opposite ends of the sort of whiskey scale there. I think showcasing Glenfiddich in slightly different ways. Grand Cru is a very classic style, and Project 20 is our fun experimental style.
Mark, thank you so much for spending so much time with me.
My pleasure.
Today. It's been
fun.
Really fun. Thank you very, very much. And I'm sure you can find Mark on Instagram. I'm sure you've got all sorts of interesting things for people to see there. If you've got more questions for him, let us know. But thank you very much for listening. Mark, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Have a lovely day.